Now in session is a Reedley Planning Commission regular meeting this Thursday, August 15, 2019. And the time is 5:03. And Commissioner, will you lead us in the...
Yes.
All right, let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Conrad?
Here.
Commissioner Pacini?
Here. Here.
Chair Perez. Here. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Commission not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the Community Development Director's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the commission on each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any comments from the public that are not in today's agenda? If not, we will close the public comment session. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. We have one item on the consent agenda. May I have a motion?
I would move that we approve that item.
Second?
I'll second.
The minutes of the regular meeting, call for the question.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner
Pacini? Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes. Chair Perez? Yes. Okay, going on to item number two. Consideration of change of zone application number 219-2 and related in environmental assessment number 2019-11 through resolution number 2019-8, staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions. Recommend to the City Council approval of environmental assessment number 2019-11 for the purpose of the proposed change of zone application. B, recommend to the City Council approval of change of zone application number 2019-2, which pertains to the reclassification of 5 contiguous properties, APNs 370-07054, 37-070-72S, 370-070-73, 370-070-75S, and 370-070-92 from the MP Plant Industrial Zone District to the MH Heavy Industrial Zone District designation. With that, I will turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. The change of zone application that we are looking at this evening pertains to the 5 APNs that Chair Perez did just mention. And I am trying to figure out why this isn't going.
Let's see.
About that. So, so this, the dashed lines show the area of the properties that are proposed to be rezoned, and there are five of them, as indicated. And the staff report does show the individual ones parceled out, but as you can see, this is existing industrial development. We have the F&H cold storage building on the westernmost portion of this area, the Guardian building there, and then the Georgia Pacific packaging on the southeast corner. And then there also are two small parcels that provide vehicular access that are owned by the same person that kind of goes through the middle there. Yeah, it's kind of quick. Yeah, so the existing zoning on the property is MP, which is planned industrial. And this zone district was used for the Southeast Industrial Area specific plan, which was done in the 80s that was approved. And so that zone district kind of reflected the standards and policies that were in effect with that specific plan. However, that specific plan was incorporated into our new general plan that was adopted in 2014. So a lot of the policies that the city wanted to keep in place, which such as promoting industrial development, were incorporated into the new general plan. So what happened is that the MP zone district it's not as specific in the current zoning ordinance as the light industrial zone district. There's more guidance and more clarity as to for the light and heavy industrial zone districts as opposed to the planned industrial zone district. So because of that, because of the existing MP is not as clear and does not have as much information as the light industrial, staff does intend to phase out that zone district eventually, and staff wanted to start a couple of parcels at a time. And as you remember, last year we did rezone the property where Turbo Spas was located, which is that darker purple property right here. Staff has already kind of started moving that forward. So the proposed zoning is a heavy industrial. That is what the general plan designates this area as. So this zone district would be consistent with that, and it would provide more guidance for the existing businesses that may want to expand or may want to add different industrial uses to the property. In order for them to do that, they would have to be consistent with the general plan, and so this kind of helps them do that. And so because this is something that has been initiated by staff to phase out the MP planned industrial zone district, the city has offered this rezoning for free. We did mail notices to the property owners that are within this area to see what the interest was. We did hear back from two of the property owners who were okay with the zoning being changed. And it doesn't really affect the existing businesses at all. It's just changing the color on the map to make all the plans fit together a little bit better. If you could go to the next one, please. So as mentioned, the slide is talking about the heavy industrial plan. So staff did look at the land use principles that support this reclassification, and those can be found in the staff report before you. It does list some specific ones. So to be in compliance with the zoning code, in order to do a change of zone, it requires Planning Commission recommendation to the City Council, and then the City Council would approve it through an ordinance if they wish to do so. And to meet noticing requirements, public hearing notice was published in the Mid Valley Times. I need to change that on August 1st, 2019. And notices were mailed to the surrounding property owners. And as of the time I'm speaking, we haven't received any comments on the item. In terms of the environmental assessment, the city, as the lead agency, determined that this change of zone application would not have any effects that were not already examined in the program EIR for the general plan, because we are maintaining that consistency. So those effects have already been analyzed, and no new mitigation measures would be required as well. So with that, staff's recommendation through Resolution 2019-8 is to recommend to the City Council approval of the Environmental Assessment 2019-11 and the Change of Zone Application Number 2019-2. That concludes staff's report. Be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, Ellen. Mm-hmm. Commissioners, any questions for staff?
Well, in this picture, you said the long driveway is one APN number?
Yeah, there's one.
And then there is a little tiny sliver?
Yeah, it's a little triangle piece. This looks like the driveway here, and then there's a little triangular piece that's next to it.
It's weird that they would give that little bit of area an APN number than to have it.
Yeah, true. It may have just been there for a while. And what this ownership is the same for the triangular piece as well as the larger one.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's also plausible that that could have been a rail spur. Far back where it's right off the rail line there. And as we know, a lot of odd things happened when you had APN assignments for the various rail spurs.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure, you're welcome.
No, we're good.
Okay. I think we're good here. What we'll do now is, since this is a public hearing, we'll open it up to public. And for any thing that you might want to add, if you are going to speak, please come to the podium, introduce yourself, and say your piece.
My name is Josh Bravo, Twyla Bravo. We're the property managers for the Guardian building. And so the landlord sent us notification about the hearing and just said basically come in and find out what information we could find out about what the rezoning, that purpose, that sort of thing. So with that area, it doesn't sound like it'll impact the landlord at all. And I think that was just a major concern of us coming. Is there a opportunity zones moving into that area for people, other businesses trying to come in? Is that even a possibility?
I don't believe we have an opportunity zone in that area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As I know, we're in Fresno, we're looking at those, and the property there, we're just shy of it. So it's trying to figure out if that was something. Because the Guardian building's been vacant for a long time, and just trying to get something in there, something that would, you know, be able to use that facility. It's such a huge facility. We just started in January for them, so that's why we're trying to get our feet wet as well, being able to work with the city and the landlords is trying to, you know, because I live in Reedley, and so it's them trying to find somebody local that could have maybe some sort of impact in filling that, that would work for the landlord, work for the city as well. So that was basically it. So I just wanted to clarify why we're here and what we're, you know.
Mr. Bravo, you said you work, you're the property manager for Guardian?
No, for the landlord that owns the Guardian building.
The Guardian building.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. So and I can leave a business card as well. That way, if anything else comes up, then you guys can have those as well. So it's a tough to find somebody to move in that big of a facility.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't know if there's talks of you maybe possibly selling it as well. So I think there's plenty of opportunity to whatever the landlord would be looking to try to fill it. So
can you guys answer that question for him?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly the intent of staff was to move away from the planned industrial and to go to the heavy industrial to, one, bring the current uses more in line with what that zone district actually is, and two, allow for much more flexibility and opportunity should they decide to expand or for any additional, someone to come in looking for a place like the Guardian building to make sure that it was going to be within a zone district that really allowed for the maximum amount of opportunity.
Okay.
And planned industrial just had so few items listed within it that it really kind of hamstrung the opportunities that were there. And so what we're trying to do
so this would be a benefit to them.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And that was the intent right from the beginning, was to try to do everything that we can to make sure that we are making business opportunities more plausible, more by right, more just easier for business owners and operators to be able to operate in town with the appropriate zones in the appropriate areas.
So the So the planned industrial designation is included in the heavy?
It's not. It's its own standalone.
It's separate.
Okay. It is separate. Mm-hmm. It came from, as Ellen had mentioned, the old Southeast Industrial Specific Plan. And at that time, when they were having those discussions, they weren't 100% sure how much light industrial and how much heavy industrial the area might develop out in. And so they said, why don't we do a planned industrial designation that identifies the area as industrial so that it didn't go into commercial or residential or anything of that nature. And then as the uses come in, we can be able to give it the appropriate designation. So that was really the intent for that over time. However, as some of the businesses came in and built, those uses were, oh, it's industrial, that's okay, it was allowed. And on the back end, the addressing a change of zone as they came in simply didn't happen. Okay. And it's something that we wanted to make sure that we were addressing now, so that we have not only that zoning and general plan consistency, but so the property owners and the operators there really have that maximum flexibility that they need. You know, because a surety in business, of course, is a gigantic item. So if you're calling the city and asking, hey, in my zone district, is this allowed? And we have to say, well, there's not really a whole lot of stuff identified in the planned industrial, and then we're having to drag them through a change of zone process each time. We wanted to make sure that we were going to address that up front.
Mr. Bravo, is the owners actively marketing the building?
Yes, actively marketing, yes. We have flyers out, and then we have the number up on the building. If anybody sees it, there's interest that they can call, and then I show it, and I've been able to show it as well. So it is active. Whether we get much calls or interest in it, not very much at the moment. So, and like I said, we just started with them in January. So they're trying. So
if I could add one thing to the other item on the agenda, I don't want to talk about it too much because we should talk about it at that time, but there is a text amendment that is proposing to add more uses and allow more uses by right in our industrial matrix. So this is the zoning change, but it does complement the next item, which is about the matrix. And the heavy industrial zone district is the zone district where the most industrial uses are permitted by right. So you don't have to go get a conditional use permit, which is basically what you would have to do with the planned industrial zone district, because there's not that much information. We have to have more discretion as to,
okay.
So I can give you that packet because we don't go through the specific uses unless we want to, but that would take a while, so you can see what the changes are so that you can bring it back to
the perfect. Okay.
Certainly opens up more opportunity as a by right use and tries to cut out more of that red tape, which is always a positive.
And this would change your marketing approach.
Yep, absolutely.
And that way you guys can communicate with the city, if there's any questions about that and potential.
Okay. Perfect. Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
All right.
Bravo.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So you can email that or just have, okay, perfect.
Yeah, if you prefer email.
Yeah, I would. That'd be easier. That's right. References. All right, thank you.
Are
so
you
much.
Folks together or
yeah.
Did you wish to make a statement?
Yep.
Okay.
He said it well.
Okay. Well, with that we'll close the public hearing. And through resolution number 2019-8, staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. So we'll include A and B under that resolution.
Okay.
Your wishes?
I want to go ahead and approve.
You make the motion?
Yeah, I make the motion
second.
To approve.
I second the motion.
Call for the question, please.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. Okay. We'll go on to item number 3, consideration of text amendment application number 2019-1 pertaining to the industrial use matrix. The resolution number 2019-9, staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions. A, recommended to the City Council approval of environmental assessment number 2019-12 for the purpose of amending the Reedley Municipal Code. B, recommend to the City Council approval of text amendment application number 2019-1, ordinance number 2019-004, repealing and replacing Title 10, Chapter 25, which pertains to the industrial use matrix. With that, I will turn it over to staff. Mm-hmm.
Thank you again, Chair, members of the Planning Commission. As previously mentioned, the repeal and replacement of the industrial land use matrix is proposed with the intent to generate more economic development activity in our industrial zone districts by adding additional land uses that weren't already in the matrix and to change uses that would be permitted conditionally or by right. So maybe if there was a conditional use permit for fiberglass manufacturing or something like that, that maybe it makes more sense to change that to a by right use to help encourage, you know, to cut down on some of the processes that would go forward with a conditional use permit. And to briefly just kind of go over the difference between permitted use and a conditional use, with permitted uses, I would also say that it's allowed by right, it's permitted by right. That's the main terms that we would throw around for that, as opposed to a conditional use, which is allowed conditionally, as would you could guess by the term. So with permitted uses, that goes through ministerial review, which is basically if you meet all the requirements and you check all the boxes on the list of requirements that we need for you, then you're out the door and you're good to go. And that process, it can be approved at the staff level. For discretionary review, that means that the project would have to be approved by either an advisory body such as the Planning Commission or a legislative body such as the City Council. So there is more discretion in the review. It's not just you check the boxes, you're good to go. There's more review, more discussion on it. And that would go through the conditional use permit process, which would require a review and approval by the Planning Commission, which would be what we're doing this evening. For a site plan review for a by right use, that's just something that's reviewed and approved by city staff. And with conditional use, those are at a notice public hearing by the Planning Commission. Sorry, I'm jumping back and forth here. But the main point to bring across is if there are concerns with the fact that conditional uses change to by right, staff can still apply conditions of approval to both projects, whether it goes through the site plan review or the conditional use permit. So if there are those check boxes, we still apply conditions such as you have to dedicate certain right of way for future road expansion, or thou shall comply with all state, local, federal laws. So because a lot of industrial uses, there's a lot more regulations outside the city regulations that they have to deal with. So, you know, those would obviously still apply in this case. So there may not always be the need for a discretionary approval by the Planning Commission if there are those regulations in place and if the city can still apply conditions of approval to the project. So again, we don't have to go through every single item, but the use matrix is attached to the staff report for you to look at for some of the things. But quite a few of the manufacturing uses, like juicing or bottling of beverages, those sorts of things were conditional, and then they were changed to by right. I think the main uses were for explosives or for storage of hazardous materials. That would still be a conditional use permit. But a lot of the basic manufacturing, many storage uses would be permitted by right. So that's generally what is proposed in the matrix. And if there are any specific questions, we can go through that as well. But in terms of the environmental assessment, there was also an environmental assessment done on this project, which determined that adopting the text amendment would have no new effects that were not previously examined in the general plan EIR. And same with mitigation measures. There were no new mitigation measures required. With that, staff's recommendation is to approve the environmental assessment 2019-12 and recommend to the City Council approval of the text amendment application through ordinance number 2019-004, which is repealing and replacing the industrial use matrix. That concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Alan. Commissioners, any questions or concerns?
Not for me.
No.
Okay. I would just note, if I could, Chair, Ellen had mentioned in the last presentation there that staff's intent is to eventually phase out the planned industrial designation. So if you look at the proposed changes within the matrix here that are being recommended, with very few exceptions, we're looking to match all of the light industrial to the planned industrial right now as far as items being permitted or conditional. And the reason why we did that, and you'll see so many changes on the planned industrial item, is it's still in place right now, so we wanted to open up as much flexibility for that as we possibly can as we move forward and complete the rezoning of all of those items to not have any planned industrial left onto the map and then actually eliminate that zone district. As we're addressing that, we wanted to make sure that those uses that may have been identified right now and still do need to be available as planned industrial is on the map, those are already being addressed within moves to light industrial and heavy industrial as appropriate as we're moving. So you will see that there were some changes to go there. And even though the intent is to go ahead and phase that one out, because it is still in place, we wanted to make sure that it was addressed in the meantime.
Does the city or really have the sovereignty to do what they want, or is it some other agency that kind of guides that or requires or
their
stipulate, whatever?
For the most part, the local agency does have the authority when it comes to their zoning. Of course, there always needs to be the property owner interest and feedback that comes from that process, which is the reason why we have the open and public hearings the way that we do. But for the most part, with some exceptions now that you'll see on housing and some others that continue to come down from the state on the residential categories, the city really has say over zoning and what type of uses they want to allow within certain zone districts throughout their community.
Okay, anything else? Okay, this being a public hearing, I'll open it up again to the public for any comments they might have.
We look forward to seeing you reading the supplement.
Thank you. With that, we'll close the public hearing and I'll turn it over for what we'll do is A and B will include in 2019-9 the recommendation. So I entertain a motion for your wishes.
I recommend that we approve resolution number 2019-9.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much for attending. We appreciate you coming and voicing your concerns.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Appreciate it.
We'll go on to the director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wanted to let you guys get some updates on some of the development projects that are currently underway right now. So we have Almond Grove just off of Frankwood Avenue. They were actually scheduled originally to do their paving today, but then ran into some issues that had to do with the their labor and material availability. I think that probably ended up being a good thing for them, considering it was 107 degrees. And paving raises the temperature typically in between 10 and 15 degrees right when you're standing there. So I think they're going to be grateful that that's not going to be starting until next Monday. but that's the plan for that one.
May I interject?
Absolutely.
Does that mean that they'll open up? Let me see. That's they'll open up. That's what street is that?
It'll open all four streets all the way around.
Yeah, because I'm hearing a lot of comments from the residents there. And especially since there for a while, there was really no activity out there.
Yep.
And so there was a little bit of concern about that. Very good.
Yep.
Good to hear that.
Yeah, it can get really challenging when you're doing any type of infill project like that, because what ends up happening is that you're having to coordinate with multiple agencies. Mm-hmm. And in particular, your public service providers like your PG&E, your SoCalGas, their infrastructure, of course, when they address that, it's on their timeline. So it may be engineered and approved by the city and those certain items, but then it's their infrastructure. So we see a lot of those type of challenges. For instance, like Reed Avenue, the undergrounding items for the utilities that were up on the poles took place, over a year ago now at this point. And Comcast in the last few days has just been out there now actually pulling their lines down. So, I mean, it can take anywhere from a couple months to, 18 months plus is not uncommon. We're grateful to see it moving forward, but more than anything, have really appreciated the patience, the understanding of the adjacent neighbors there. I think that they are grateful to see something finally building there. I know whenever there would be a pretty heavy rain event that a lot of them around that area would deal with mud and some issue of flooding in some manner there. So I know that they're grateful to see those items there, but that still doesn't take away from the fact that they have been negatively impacted during the construction. But they've been extremely gracious and good to work with. And even those that have called and asked for updates have not been aggravated. I think they just want to make sure that they're being kept in the loop. And so I think it's been good, but we'll definitely be excited to see the roads opened again for them, and that'll be a good thing. On Dinuba Avenue, the multifamily project being built there, El Valle, that's actually also being built by Yanez Construction, so they will be mobilizing all of their paving activities on the same day. So you'll see both of those items happen too. So the small closures that you're seeing on Dinuba Avenue right now associated with that project will also be taken care of. Self-Help Enterprises is having a public outreach meeting for their Reed and Aspen development next Thursday. They actually had one scheduled for this Monday. They were out, they were on site, and we had one person show up for the meeting, and it was actually Councilmember Mary Fast. Aside from that, no one else showed up, which we thought was surprising, and we thought, okay, have we answered all of the questions and concerns that the adjacent community may have had up to this point? And then Self-Help called me back the very next day, and they were extremely apologetic and wanted to let me know that apparently there was a mistake that was made on their side with some miscommunication, and unfortunately an intern did not understand that he was supposed to put certain items in the mail, and they were still sitting on his desk. Immediately when they noticed that, they called us and said, can we please reschedule something else, because they want to make sure that they are having good outreach with the community. Now, the interesting thing about that project is everything there is already approved. The map is approved. They're working on their final map. All entitlements for them are in hand. What they want to do is just make sure that they're having really good communication with the adjacent neighborhood to make sure that people know what the project is, what it isn't, what their anticipated timeline is. They just want to make sure that there's that really good, open, transparent communication. So they will be... they've rescheduled that one for next Thursday, 5:30 p.m. It'll be in the senior room over at the community center. So you guys are obviously welcome to attend if you'd like to. And their final map is set to go before City Council the following Tuesday, so on the 27th of this month. After the acceptance of the final map and the subdivision improvement agreement, at that point, then they could actually start into construction activities. So we should see dirt turning there very, very soon. In fact, over the last few weeks, they've been removing
the trees
that are out there.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
They can do that. They have, as soon as they have a tentative map approval, and of course, they're the private property owner, they can do any type of on-site items that they would like to do. As soon as the final map is done, now they can actually move into the off-site items of installing your public improvements and working the roadway and those type of items. So that one's moving along well, and we're excited to see that one go. The Frankwood and South development, we anticipate that annexation application package is going to make it to LAFCO later this month. Just a couple small items that are outstanding from the applicant there. The preparational items that we needed to have done as well for LAFCO to consider annexation have already been handed in. The things that needed to go in before that, their specific application that have to do with the entire community. Here in the near future, again, we should be able to see some additional annexation activity happening in the community and then followed up by their final map process and hopefully construction there.
What area is that again?
Frankwood and South.
Which corner?
So that it's actually of that intersection, that would be the northeast corner.
Northeast corner?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So that's for development for housing?
It's single family residential, and then it has a small portion that is their phase two of the development that's designated for commercial.
Okay. Northeast
corner. Yep.
Yeah.
At the next council meeting on the 27th, we will be taking forward a recommendation for consultant selection for the farmland preservation program. The scoring committee came back and had a unanimous recommendation to go with the firm of VRPA. So that is who we'll be moving forward with their recommendation. The price was right where it needed to be, and the details that they had included in their proposal, the scoring committee thought were extremely good, and we're definitely going to touch on the exact items that we felt that we needed to see in there. As you guys know, the Farmland Preservation Program is part of the general plan implementation, and so we've talked to the Planning Commission multiple times about that one and what the intent was to go there. I don't think that what we'll end up seeing out of that is going to be anything really different than what we already practice. It would simply just put some of those items into a formal policy. Reedley has always been very sensitive and conservative when it comes to agricultural land and the impacts that we're going to have on that, because obviously it's such a huge part of the city's identity and of our economic development. You will see some items associated with that in the coming months. Of course, when a draft plan is ready, that item would come back before the Planning Commission for your review and comment and ultimate recommendation to the City Council. Upcoming ethics training, they were initially scheduled to take place in, I want to say, the 27th, starting on the 27th, and then the first meeting in September, but unfortunately our city attorney has a conflict, so now they will take place in the two meetings in September. They're at 6 p.m. on the council night, so 1 hour before the council meeting would start. Planning commissioners are encouraged to attend that, of course, because the certificates that planning commissioners are required to have for that, that's the opportunity for you guys to come right in and get that. With everybody else on a previously scheduled time. There is a possibility that on the 24th, the City Council might not have a meeting. If that is the case, then that second ethics training would then happen on October 8th. So I would just encourage you guys to put those ones down on your calendar, and we'd like to be able to see you there.
And we'll get an email on that?
I'd be happy to send that out, yeah.
Okay, thank you. It'll be, oh, yeah. It's, well, never mind. It's on the agenda.
Yeah, I'd be happy to send it out to you, though, just to make sure that everybody has it. And then, Ellen, please correct me if I'm wrong, looking at the future agenda items, right now we had September 5th notated as nothing at this time, but are we actually going to try to move that vesting tentative map to then?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did hear from the applicant this morning that there is enough time to do the public noticing for the vesting tentative subdivision map, so that is planned to go on September 5th, I believe.
No, I'm on vacation that week. I would have. Is this the one for the Frankwood area? Yeah, I would have had to recuse myself anyway.
Perfect timing.
Right, perfect timing.
Yeah. Yeah. Do the other commissioners
none at this time.
Yeah, so that does mean, so at this point, I believe September 19th, we won't have anything. And then on October 3rd, we did get a conditional use permit application recently. And so it will either be one of the meetings in October and the next CUP will take place. So if there's any conflicts with that, please let me know.
So the item on the 19th is getting moved to the 5th?
Correct.
Okay.
And that concludes my report. Any questions or anything from the commissioners I can assist with?
Nope.
Any concerns? This is the time to slam them down.
No concerns.
You guys are happy? Gee whiz, this is ridiculous.
Sound like you don't believe
I'm hungry.
This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate it.